Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. It's Friday. Friday, the 25th of February. Thank you, everyone, for joining me today as we shut this week down in this episode of the Cave Show. A lot of stuff to get into today. We're going to have a condensed show, so we're going to get it in today. We're definitely going to get it in. I'll give you all this information now. Call in number 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. I will look to open up the phone lines here shortly. On the docket today, ASU got a really big basketball win last night. Our very own Tony Capobianco was in Boulder while they beat the Colorado Buffaloes. He'll have a report on that at about 15 minutes after the hour. The Suns won again. The Suns won again, so continuing their best record in basketball at 49-10. We'll get into that. And I have to say it. Are you ready for this? I'm going to save it. Let's just say this. Someone landed on their feet. I'll explain who that is as well. And Aaron Rodgers stays in the news. And I'd sit here sometimes like, hey, you know what? We'll get into it in a second. We'll do all that right here on the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. We're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That is Alma School and Chandler Heights. Get down there and let them know that PLR sent you. They'll take 10% off of your cigar purchase. You also can become a club member. Get your access to the members' lounge. When you're back there, you just sit and relax. You get a locker that backs up to a humidor. Never have to worry about your sticks going bad. Refrigerator, wine cooler, everything you need to fill at home. They do serve beer and wine, so they have the adult beverage while you're enjoying your stick. Now, if you don't want to become a member, now you believe it. I always forget to say this. You can go back there on a day pass, and if you're having a function, you can also rent it. So just check with Maduro's on information for that. Now, if you're not a member, still no issues. Plenty of places for you to sit, relax, enjoy your stick, and watch one of the many televisions that they do have. Now, if you can't come in person, there's no worry there. Just go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. If you order your stick early enough in the day, it will ship out the exact same day. All these things happen at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. A couple of things I wanted to point out. I want to get into this Aaron Rodgers thing first because I weigh how much of Aaron Rodgers I'm going to talk on this show because I think it's kind of futile. If you follow me on Twitter, at PLR on Sports, I've got a funny, I think it's funny, little tweet called the Aaron Watch. Yesterday it said, a source who got it from someone familiar with the situation spotted Aaron Rodgers drinking a glass of milk. Well, with that deduction, that can only mean he likes dairy. Dairy is big in Wisconsin. Green Bay is in Wisconsin. He's staying in Green Bay. Now, today, I heard something completely different. A source related to a source who's familiar with the source and who's even more familiar with the situation that they saw Aaron eating seafood. That can only mean one thing. He's going to end up in San Francisco. And that's how this asinine stuff works. And that's how you know it's a dead news cycle. because it's the same old crap being recycled over and over and over. There is one thing that did come out today, you can take it for what it's worth, is that Aaron Rodgers wants a contract upwards in the amount of $50 million a year. See, this takes me back to my issue that I have with the NFL and salaries for quarterbacks. And I don't know if this is your first time listening. This is something I've said all along. Quarterbacks should have their own cap. And then only when they go over a certain amount should that cap then come off the other team. So for the rest of the team. So, for example, I think it's asinine that everyone is trying their best to win while every quarterback has a rookie deal in place so they can pay everybody else. Because when it's time to play your quarterback, in essence, they're done. If the salary for the quarterback is more than 10, 12%, it's impossible to win a Super Bowl per the stats. Hell, at 10 or 12%, it's hard to win. They want quarterbacks to be about 5%, 6% of the overall team salary, but yet it still be the most important person on the team and make sure the team rises and falls with them. Can't have both. So what I think they should do is you set aside $60 million in quarterback money. $60 million quarterback money. Now, I'm ambiguous with the number, but I think you know what I'm saying. And so if the cap, the regular cap, let's just say is 125, instead of you fitting a quarterback under that 125, the quarterbacks get 60. You could have one, two, three, four, however many quarterbacks you want, but their pot comes out of that 60. And then you freely can pay the 125 to the rest of your players. That way you can pay a quarterback and keep a good quarterback and still fill the team. Because here's what I find asinine about the whole situation. You get people coming on TV saying quarterbacks just can't take a big salary because then it hurts their chances to win. Quarterbacks, it's not fair for them to eat up so much of the money because then it hurts them when it's time to win. In fact, there was a stat out on Fox for the NFL quarterbacks in 2022. Obviously, this year coming. Pat Mahomes, 45. Josh Allen, 43. Dak Prescott, 40. Deshaun Watson, yes, he's from the NFL, 39. Russell Wilson, 35. Aaron Rodgers, 33. Jared Goff, and I'm not making this up, 33. Kirk Cousins, and I'm not making this up, 33. Carson Wentz, and I'm not making this up, 30. And Matt Ryan, I'm not making this up, $30 million, not making this up. When it comes to Goff, Cousins, Wentz, and Ryan, I'm really not playing. I'm really not playing that those four combined, is going to make almost $130 million. They're going to make $128,500,000. No joke. Can't make that up. But why should quarterbacks have to take a haircut? Why do they have to take a haircut to play so an owner can pay the rest of his team? I don't get that one. Maybe you guys get that one and can explain it to me. So if I'm a quarterback, so the billionaire owner that can pay the team, I need to make less than 6% or less than 7% of the total team cap so they can have money to pay everyone else. Sense does that make? I don't understand that. In the pandemic year, they don't have the totals for 2021 yet. Their income dropped. The net income dropped. And of course it would, because people weren't going to games and all that. But the year before, 2019, $16 billion. In the pandemic, $20 billion with the B, dollars. But the quarterback needs to take a haircut so the owners can pay everybody else, the plan is wrong. The plan is 100% wrong. That makes absolutely no sense. That's why they should have their own cap. Now, I've been told if you do that, you set them aside, they're not part of the team, yada, yada, yada. They're not the same part of the team anyway. If you have an incredible quarterback or an incredible running back or an incredible defensive end or an incredible safety, who's getting the money first? Your QB. They're already not the same. They're already not the same. Give them their own cap because this whole thing, they need to take less if they want to win. And think about it. Now, I want you to put yourself in this position. If someone came up to you right now, came up to you, and let's say you work for, I don't know, pick a place, Baskin-Robbins. If Baskin-Robbins comes up to you and says, hey, we want to keep you, but we need to keep the rest of the staff here too. I know we're paying you a whole $14 an hour, but we got to be able to keep those other people to help you out. So I need you to take a pay cut to $10 an hour or $12 an hour. But it's for the good of the company. It's good. It's good for the 31 flavors. Oh, me? Yeah, no, I'm not cutting my profits, though. I just want to be able to pay both of you. And the only way I can be able to afford to pay both of you is if I cut your salary to pay theirs. No. Well, we'll just get creative with the cap. We'll cut you to 12, but come June, we'll kick it up to 16 and give you a month's salary in advance, and it will spread the rest out over the next 12 years. I don't plan on working here 12 more years. The NFL needs to figure this out and fix it. They do. I'm not saying there shouldn't be a cap, but if I'm a quarterback, I'm taking the most money. I want the Super Bowl, but I also want to be set for life. And no, guy living in mom's basement, you wouldn't do it for less. No, guy, I paid $70 a ticket to take my son to a game to watch these grown men whine. Well, they paid zero, turn on the radio, and listen to you whine. I know it's all in perception. I just find it funny that fans always get upset when players want more as the asset and they're fine with the owner making billions off that asset. Players in the NFL have less on average than a 5-year shelf window. An owner can be as old as Jerry Jones and still raking in the billions. And no one has a problem with that. No one has a problem with $17 beer night. No one has a problem with $50 parking. That's not going to the players. Let me educate you people. That's going into the owner's coffers. Every time you pay up $9 for a Dallas dog or some cowboy chips, that's going directly to the owner. Well, you know what? These whining players, they make me so mad, I'm just going to stop going to games. Let's see how they like that if I'm not in the game paying their salary. You pay their salary every time you hit click on that television. Every time you watch the game and that commercial comes on, you pay their salary. Their money's coming from revenue, like television, your ticket buying. Not your ticket buying. So stop and put it in perspective. And that was a long way around saying, I'm tired of Aaron Rodgers, period. But if he's earned $50 million, pay the man $50 million if you want him. Now, here's the other side, though. Can't then complain because you know the system. Do I think the system's right? No. But it is the system. And you've got to follow the system. It's like rules. You may not like them all, but you got to follow them. As long as you're not asked to harm or maim someone, gotta follow the rules. All right, we'll be back in a second. Should be in time for the one only Tony Capobianco. As soon as we come back from this break, see you on the other side in 30 seconds. K-Show, PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up. Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show, PLR. This is Friday the 25th. Thank you for hanging out with us today. Make sure you're following us on social media at The Sports Cave. Cave is with the K. We are on Instagram, the Facebook, and the Twitter. If you're listening to the show live, you know what you did. The easiest way to do it is go to the website, sportscave.com, Cave is with the K. Hit that listen live button, and there we are. You can also check us out on iHeartRadio and Spotify. Just download those apps from the Apple App Store, from the Play Store. Anywhere you get your apps from, make sure you're following The Cave Show. It's brought to you by The Sports Cave. Get alerted when a new show is up. So last night, I don't know what the hell got in ASU. They were hitting shots. They were playing inspired. Just yesterday, I talked about Colorado possibly getting in as an at-large, a home loss to an unranked sub-500 team isn't necessarily how you get there, but ASU flashed, and the one, the only Cuban Cowboy, Tony Capobianco, was there. He's on with us now talking about what the hell got into the Sun Devils. Tony, thanks for joining us around the Cave Show. What the hell got into the Sun Devils last night?
Altitude.
Hell, shouldn't Colorado be more prepared for that?
I mean, it's Colorado. Altitude is our excuse for everything.
But I hear you, man.
It's kind of interesting. Colorado entered that game leading the Pac-12 in three-point shooting percentage. Arizona State is the worst three-point shooting team in the Pac-12, but they're building pack behind Arizona in three-point defense, and somehow Colorado went to the first half making like 1 of 10 from the top of the key, which was like beyond flabbergasting. It was my first time in Boulder, and by, I think it was like the last 4 minutes of the game, one of the media guys next to me was like, "I have never seen the fans leave so quickly."
One of those nights, I guess. I'm almost at a loss for words, because ASU has really struggled to put the ball in the basket. And last night, everything just seemed to click.
Well, that's something I asked around, because I think there's a difference between what ASU has been overall record-wise and what they are currently. One of the dirty secrets about college basketball is that the regular season title doesn't mean anything in terms of making the tournament. Winning the conference tournament is how you get in. And even though this is a below 500 Arizona State team, it's been a very streaky one. And ever since they beat UCLA in triple overtime, they have won 5 of their last 8. And they have won 4 out of their last 5. In fact, the only time that if they'd not lost to UCLA on the road, they would have won like 6 straight. And they would have been like the hottest team of the conference outside of Arizona. And that's a team that has, one, have a healthy Marion Jackson, who scored 17 points last night. They have a player in Darian Graham, who barely averaged 5 points a game the first 11 games, and has since averaged 14 points a game, if I was 14 points. So that type of team could be a potential dark horse for the Pac-12 tournament, and it might not be enough to make the NIT because they could beat Utah. They can put some more wins together against Cal Stanford at home next week. Maybe win a couple games in the tournament, but not be enough for 500 to get NIT. But they could really like put something together that could speak about the future of the program.
So let me ask you this. We saw Oregon State go on a sort of tear last year and a run. From what you saw last night, do you think that the Sun Devils are capable of putting together a run like that, winning the tournament and advancing possibly to the big dance?
I mean, I still believe that once they get around to like UCLA a third time and Arizona, it's going to be curtains on the run. But the Pac-12 tournament is an unpredictable beast. I still remember like a decade ago when I was in college, Arizona had like fantastic teams that went to the Sweet 16, teams that won the conference tournament, teams that beat Duke and almost made the Final Four, never could win the Pac-12 tournament. Like Isaiah Thomas would beat them in the end on the buzzer beater. They'd lose to Colorado in the first season of the Pac-12. Anything could potentially happen, but I don't think anyone is going to beat number two Arizona. And UCLA, I think, would make it in the end. So I don't know if Arizona State is going to make it past those two teams, but I think they can, if they keep playing this way, I think a semifinal appearance is possible.
On the line with us right now, the one only Tony Capobianco, Cuban Cowboy, hanging out with us. Was at the game, working the game last night, ASU versus Colorado. So I looked at this, and yesterday I went over the teams in the Pac-12. And one of the things I said was, you know, you can't just count on what you do. You have to look at some of these other conferences and see what happens. And one of the ones that stood out to me was the Ohio Valley Conference. And I pointed out that Murray State, they're getting in 27-2, 17-0. Even if they stumble somewhere in their conference, they're getting in. Belmont is an interesting team. I'm big on history not coming into play. You should be rewarded for what you're doing, not what you did. But they've built a really good resume. And so I think they sneak in. What might be the comeuppance for the Pac-12, it could be another team. You pick any other college division. But what if someone like Morehead State, who's gone 21-9, somehow wins the Ohio Valley? If that happens, a team like Colorado that's on the bubble, they're out. A team like Oregon that's on the bubble, maybe now they're out. Do you think the Pac-12 deserves more than just getting the guaranteed three teams in that we know they're going to get right now?
Now, I love how you brought up the Ohio Valley. That was the conference I used to cover during the pandemic. I was covering Southeast Missouri State, and when I was there, Belmont and Murray State was somewhat down. They're back now, but Belmont was like the class of the conference, and Morehead State actually won the tournament. So that's a sneaky good conference, even though they lost a lot of members. I don't think in the end that they're going to end up with like three teams. The conference champion will probably be Murray State, and they'll probably make it. And then there'll be a toss-up between one of those two other teams. I mean, Morehead State lost to SIBO, so that usually is a mark of death for anyone's bubble chances. But one issue with the Pac-12 is, among the six power conferences, Ken Pom ranks them fifth, only above the ACC, which is a weird case of their own. So at-large teams have an issue in that conference. It's also the first conference to have a team win the regular season championship but not make the tournament because they didn't win the – I think they were a first-round exit. So this is – the Pac-12 is not usually seen – I mean, they're a major conference, but not seen as a major conference, and that usually hurts some of the at-large bids. An argument can be made that you could see three Mountain West teams make the big dance as well. So a team like Colorado, if they don't win, I mean, they're a really good team. they're really good three-point shooting team. But if they don't win 20 games by the end of the season, they're not going to make the tournament. And I don't know if anyone in the Pac-12 is going to be able to make the tournament as an at-large bid without 20 games and at least two wins in the conference tournament. So any first-round exit is going to spell NIT for them.
Yeah, and I definitely don't see it in sub 500. They basically have to win it all. It's really just that simple. Let me ask you this question. A lot of people are still rumbling about the amount of teams that are in. Do you even bother watching the play-in games? I know the NCAA hates calling it that. They want to call it, you know, round one. We all know that's horseshit. They're the play-in games. Do you even watch that?
Well, it's a little more than the first round. It's the first four. Before you get to the final four, you must deal with the first four. I always miss the game. The matchups are always interesting. But I think I'm just not good at watching TV because of my job and the placement of the TVs in my office compared to my desk. But the first four is an interesting round to watch because recently, I think since the first four became a thing, at least there's been like half the seasons where a team from the first four make the final four or make a good run. Like Syracuse, the last time Syracuse was in the final four, they were a first four team. BCU, when they made the final four, was also a first four team. So I think Loyola Chicago was also one as well. So like there's a good chance that one of those teams makes a run. So for that reason, it's interesting to watch. But I think the problem with the first four is that they put them on True TV. I haven't watched True TV since World's Dumbest. Now you're telling me I got to watch college basketball games there?
So, on the line with the one, the only Tony Capobianco. All right, Tony. So let's do this. Let's do this before that was funny. Let's do this before we have to get out. Baseball. They seem to just not be able to get it right. I was listening to Jeff Passan a little bit earlier. I guess they're almost sort of kind of now going to negotiate with urgency, I guess, because there was no urgency in December. There was no urgency in January. There's little to no urgency in February. We're canceling spring training. Games start getting canceled Monday. And I want your opinion on this, the way I'm going to phrase it. Right now, I don't think the owners really care about losing games and losing some revenue because I think that part of the revenue that they would lose would be offset by the salaries they don't have to pay. Because every game that's canceled, the players lose salary. And to me, it seems like this is the owner's big plan, kind of like it was in during the pandemic when there was no urgency to get baseball started. Because the teams that didn't make money weren't really going to make a profit, a large enough profit to worry about getting games going without fans. I'm kind of feeling the same thing here, that owners really aren't concerned yet.
Well, one thing that's interesting about the first month of the baseball season is that, I mean, you don't have to deal with this because you're in Arizona. You got a retractable roof, even though it smells like a crayon box. But there's a lot of big markets where games are just absolutely miserable in the first month of the season. Like April, it's still cold. Like I got snow here in February, but I'm not gonna get snow in Colorado through April. Like no one ever goes to a Yankees game or a Red Sox game in April saying, "Oh, the weather's fantastic." So if those are the games that get sacrificed, so that the owners get their way in negotiations, which is really, that's the whole crux of this entire thing. Like, the lockout didn't have to happen, but the owners made it happen. And then the owners could have started negotiations immediately after a lockout, but chose to wait until February to break the players' union, which is their whole goal. So this is all the owners making. And this is going to be something that every league is probably going to have to deal with. I can't imagine what the NBA collective bargaining agreement is going to look like when that thing runs out. given everything that's been going on recently. But I think the Monday deadline is arbitrary, and they have no problem replacing April with spring training games, their regular season games, because May seems to be a better start time anyways. So they'll probably just – they'll sacrifice the cold weather games so they can get what they want. And this lockout will not end until the owners get what they want, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, I was saying this the other day, though, with baseball in general and the way that they, I believe they're messing up. Here's why. The NBA is getting its part in their part of the season when people start to watch. So now you got basketball going, and now you got March Madness coming up. You have the Combine coming up, and then you got the NFL Draft coming up, and then you have the NBA playoffs coming up, and then you have the whole NBA Draft. Then you get usually a month of dead time before football starts. And this summer we have the USFL. Not like anyone gives a major crap, but they probably will just because it'll be something to watch. So my point is baseball is acting like it's 1940 and they're high on being relative for every other sport, when in actuality, if they don't come back, I don't think people are going to miss them. And I think that's a problem for them, that they're not going to be missed.
At this point, baseball is probably the only sport where you don't care about the league itself, but you care about your team and your team only. And the reason why TV revenue has gone up throughout the league is that the TV deals have been rising and have been lucrative. That's pretty much the crux of their other revenue. It's not like the league partnerships with like major networks. It's, I care about the Colorado Rockies, so I'll watch the Rockies. I don't care about the national TV games unless it's a World Series.
Right.
Even then, TV is a little bit different. So, though, because of the TV dollars there, like the reason why the LA Angels can pay Mike Trout however much they paid is because the revenue they get from the TV deal pays that entire contract twice over every year. And YES Network to pay for the team payroll twice over every year. So that's the local stuff is what keeps baseball going. But the issue is baseball is the only sport that has that dynamic. Like, you care about the Suns because the Suns are good right now. But if the Suns were back to being garbage, you would still watch basketball because it's always about the stars from the other teams. Teams are irrelevant. Players are. Same with the NFL. It doesn't matter what game is on. You'll watch the NFL. The Bengals made the Super Bowl. We're still watching it more than any other game. It's own different story. But the baseball is not a national sport in terms of television, but it's big locally. So, yeah, maybe if I put any team other than Yankees on ESPN, and fans are like, well, baseball is back, then never knew it left. But they'll know that their team wasn't playing, and that's what owners bank on. It's like, you love your team, you love going to your games.
Yeah, no, you're 100% correct. It is definitely a regional sport now, and I think baseball has a lot to do with the fact and it is a regional sport. They did it to themselves. But I just find it amazing that they will sacrifice just to be irrelevant so they can save money. I don't get it. But anyway, I have to touch base with you on that. And then, of course, Aaron Rodgers. Are you as sick as everybody else? I'm hearing him every day on every network. Now, I've started something on Twitter, an Aaron Rodgers watch. I got to put the new one up. Because yesterday, a source that's familiar with the situation said Aaron Rodgers was drinking milk. Milk is dairy. So, therefore, he's definitely going back to Green Bay. Now, today, my source that's close to the source that's familiar with the situation saw him eating seafood, which means he's definitely going to play for San Francisco. So I'm trying to keep up with this, and my source that's close to the source, that's familiar with the situation, is breaking it down for me every single day.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but I, in Colorado, also have a source, and my source says it is a prayer circle around Denver, saying that he will be traded to the Rockies.
All right.
If I was anywhere else, yeah, I'd be sick of Aaron Rodgers. But I'm in Colorado for like the fifth time I've said that, and we actually believe we could get Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Yeah, we could pick anyone for our head coach. We took his offensive coordinator. Like, you don't come here, bring John Wick over to us, and we can finally be good again. Entirely constipated offenses. Whatever it takes, bring him. Do you know in Colorado, we are a blue state, but we don't give a damn if you wear a mask or not as long as you're vaccinated. But even now, we're not even caring so much about that. You know how I've been double vaxxed. You know how many times I have to pull out my card? Once, and that's only as a media member covering the Rockies. Nobody cares anymore. Come to us. To us, you're immune. You're immune. You're free. No one cares.
Well, isn't he inoculated anyway?
He's in gold anyways.
I thought he was inoculated. Isn't he inoculated?
He's inoculated. He's a natural survivor. He's not going to turn into a zombie in Call of Duty. He's fine. Come to the Rockies. All the craft beer is free. I'm sure. I guarantee he will not pay for a single craft beer in Golden or Boulder or anywhere else. If he forces his way. Yeah, force his way. I don't know who he's got to talk to because Packers have, like, an army of owners. Find the one with at least 5 shares and say, trade me.
All right. Well, I'll check with my source that knows the source, that's familiar with the situation, to verify your source that's familiar with the situation, to see what we'll put up on the Aaron Watch.
Look,
that I have going on my
If
Twitter.
You hang out at the cigar lounge long enough, you will find some sources.
Sounds like a plan to me. All right, my man. Tell me. I know where to find you. Tell everybody else where they can find you, where they can follow you, and where they can check out all the good stuff you do.
Well, I post a lot of fun sports photos on Instagram at Tony Capobianco, and my Twitter that I've gotten back to, I'm not that active, is Tony M. Capo. But I also wrote on the Force Cave, I wrote my story on Arizona State, and they could be a potential dog horse in the Pac-12 tournament. So go read that stuff.
My man, that's at thesportscave.com, and Cave is with a K. And you know what? There was a long time ago, I don't remember when, but when you had your Twitter going, and there's another Tony Capobianco, and I actually tweeted him. And he was like, I think you're looking for the wrong guy. I'm like, oh, my bad. I didn't know there was that many. So I'm glad
was
that
was
you...
Was he the comedian in the Boston? We both had beer.
I don't even...
It's kind of funny.
I don't even remember him. It was a while ago, but I thought it was kind of funny. I was like, dang, there's that many. It was not like Adam Smith. Like, tweeted Tony Capobianco. So, but I'm glad you gave that decision.
There's a lot of us in Boston that found out when I went back. My grandmother had a funny phrase, Capobianco, so I'm like, oh, shit, they're everywhere.
I can't, you know what? That's the perfect note to say thank you. We will catch up. And I appreciate all that you do. The one and only Tony Capobianco, the Cuban Cowboy, my man. on the real, everyone, make sure you follow him. He writes really good stuff. He's a very, very good writer. So make sure you're definitely checking him out and follow him on Instagram. He's a really good follow. And like I said, I couldn't even follow up with that one. Listen, we're going to wrap this bad boy up today. Like I said, condensed a lot in a little, but you got a lot. Make sure you're checking us out at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Cave is with a K at sportscave.com. Cave is with a K. Get me on the Twitter at PLR on sports. That's direct. And make sure you're checking us out right here every day at 1 o'clock. Hey, everyone, have a great weekend. Be safe. Until Monday, take care of yourself, take care of each other. This has been a Cave Show with PLR. Tips, bring us all.